Over the past 4 weeks and concluding tonight, the History Channel has been airing a 5-part series entitled The Bible. Have any of you been watching these last few weeks? It may seem ridiculous, if not impossible, to try and encapsulate the entire Bible into 10 hours of television, less if you consider commercials. But the intent of the producers of this movie was to convey to their audience the overarching themes, the big major steps in the cohesive story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And I think that this is a good thing, because I think even for many of us who know our Bible stories, for a lot of us that's just what they are, kind of a random collection of stories, each with its own moral at the end. And I think for a lot of us, the Easter story can fall into that category too. Just kind of this random story that has a very positive and uplifting message, but where does it fit? What does it mean? Jesus' first disciples didn't understand Easter this way. The earliest disciples of Jesus understood that the Easter story was a new creation story. The Easter story is a new creation story. Let me show you what I mean by that. And for a number of these observations this morning, I have to admit that I'm indebted to a great scholar named N.T. Wright. So thank you to N.T. for the sermon this morning. But as N.T. Wright points out, that as John writes his gospel, he is putting together the entire story of the Bible within the life of Jesus. In fact, the entire story of the world within the life of Jesus. And our first clue to this is that the first words of John's gospel are, "In the beginning." Where have we heard that before? The first words of the Bible are, "In the beginning." And so John already has us thinking of Genesis 1 and 2 when God made the heavens and the earth. And then in John 18, he brings back some of these themes and he makes it clear that Jesus was crucified on the 6th day of the week. What happened in Genesis on the 6th day in Genesis 1? God finished his creation. And Jesus on the cross speaks the words, "It is finished." On the 7th day in Genesis 2, God rests from his work. And on the 7th day of the week, a Sabbath, Jesus lies in the tomb. And this is where the story should end. The week is over. Jesus' life is over. I mean, Jesus came, he lived, he died. That's where the story ends. But it doesn't. A new story begins. It's not just the continuation of the old story. It's a whole new story because John makes it very clear to us, and he says it twice. And we probably didn't even notice it as we were reading. But when you are writing on a scroll, you don't waste words. You don't just repeat things for no reason. John tells us twice in verse 1 and verse 19 of chapter 20 that Jesus' resurrection occurs on the first day of the week. This is a new creation story. And it gets better, because in Genesis 2, where do we find the first man? In a garden, the Garden of Eden. And where does Mary encounter the risen Christ? In a garden. She mistakes him for the gardener, in fact. And then in Genesis 1 and 2, God commissions his disciple, or commissions Adam and Eve, and he says, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And he tells them to cultivate and till the soil of the land. And in John 20, Jesus commissions his disciples and says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And just as in Genesis 2, God breathes life into the nostrils of the first humans, in John 20, Jesus enters a room of his disciples and breathes the Holy Spirit onto them. A new kind of humanity has begun. So what is John telling us? He's telling us that the Easter story is a new creation story. Now, some of you might have been watching a lot of March Madness the last few weeks. Last night was very unfortunate for some of us. But anyway, we'll get past that. If you've been watching enough basketball games or any sports games, a lot of times you'll hear the phrase that some player is taking the team on his shoulders, which means that the destiny of the team is now wrapped up in the destiny of that one player. And that's what happens with Jesus. When God became a man, when the Word of God became flesh, when the Creator became a part of His creation, Jesus, God in Jesus, was taking on the destiny of the world. The destiny of the old creation, the world that God created in Genesis 1 and 2, the world that was corrupted by sin in Genesis 3 and is broken by our pride time and time again, the destiny of the old creation is death. You see, God told Adam at the very beginning that the destiny of sin is always death and separation. And so when Jesus walks to the cross and says, "It is finished," he is living out the destiny of the old creation. As Paul writes, "God made him who knew no sin," Jesus, "to be sin for us." And just before the passage we read, he writes, "We are convinced that one has died for all, and therefore all have died." On the cross, the old creation is brought to completion. But on Easter, on the first day of the week, a new creation story begins. And the destiny of the new creation is life. It's the triumph of love. It's the victory of God over all of the things that bring death and separation. And so Paul writes, "If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Everything old has passed away. See, everything is made new." The Easter story is a new creation story. You may be asking, so what? What does all this mean? What are these, just a bunch of cool literary coincidences or some spiritual thing up in the sky? Yes. No, I'm kidding. They're not. They're important because each one of our lives are the tale of two stories, these two stories. The first story is the story of the old creation. And all of us are familiar with this story in one way or another. These are the things that lead to separation and death. Things like poverty and divorce and oppression and disease and war and violence and abandonment and fear and dementia and isolation and purposelessness and addiction and suicide. These are the things of the old creation story. We all encounter them in one way or another. All of these lead to the death of our bodies or the death of our souls or both. And as Jesus dies on the cross, all of these things receive the definitive no of God. That these things will not live on. These things will not last forever. These things will come to an end. And Easter begins the new creation story. God's definitive yes to the things that will live on. Life, hope, peace, love. See, Easter was the first day of the week, though. That's the thing. It was only the first day of the week. Which means that God's new creation project is still going on. and it intersects each one of our lives in some way. You've experienced the good things that God has for you. And you are all, we are all invited to join in this new creation project, this new thing that God is doing all around us. And to join it, all we do is bring ourselves and we bring other people to the cross first. The cross where all of that old creation stuff, all of the sin and the selfishness and the disease and the sorrow and the suffering, where all of that can meet its end. And God can say no more. And as soon as God says no to those things, that's when Easter happens. When God begins the new creation work in our hearts and in the world around us. We get to be raised with Jesus into a new story of reconciliation and peace and the abundant kind of life that God had planned for us all along. And this all is what it means to be in Christ. And Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation is there. To be in Christ is a picture on one hand of dependence, of our need for God. The new creation begins with Christ and it ends with Christ. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, the Alpha and the Omega. We need to be in the garden and hear Jesus speak our name, like he spoke Mary's name. And you watch her come alive. We need to hear that voice. We need to have Jesus breathe the Spirit upon us, enlivening us again. We need to hear the message of peace that Jesus speaks. To be in Christ is to know that it is in Christ that your true life is found. And to be in Christ is a picture of community as well. You see, Jesus doesn't just breathe his Spirit on one person. He doesn't just say, peace be with you, to an individual. He enters into the room where this ragtag bunch of disciples of his are gathered. And on them, he breathes the Spirit and speaks peace. You see, there is only one Christ. So to enter into Christ means to join all of Christ's disciples in this new creation story that God is doing. The Easter story calls us to join Christ at the cross, to endure the death of all of the things in our lives that lead to separation and hostility, all that old creation story. And it means to allow God to raise us up, to become ourselves a part of the new creation, and to be ambassadors of Christ, bearers of this new creation story into the world. Because Easter was only the first day. Easter is also an invitation. And I'm going to pray a prayer right now, and if you want to receive this invitation to Easter, to new creation story for the first time or the first time today, please join with me, and I'll pray it slowly so to let it sink in. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, you are, we believe, the resurrection and the life. This morning we receive your invitation to the cross. Put to death all our sins, all that separates us from you and from each other, all that leads to death and raise us to life. Abundant life in Christ. New life in your kingdom. In your kingdom of peace and hope, love and joy. We have heard the Easter message. We want to be Easter people. May it be so. Amen.